Let's look at 2 Peter 3:9. Before we read it, let's pray. Lord, we thank you very much for an opportunity to open your word. We ask that you would shed your light on our hearts, that you would renew in us a spirit of zeal, of willingness, of attentiveness to you, that we would seek through your word and to seek what applies to us and not just our neighbors, that we would seek to renew, to revive a spirit of joy and thankfulness, of sacrifice. I thank you for all the tremendous blessings that you've shown to us throughout these conferences, throughout all the years that we've been here. But we ask for more. We ask for you to continue to shed blessings upon every preacher, upon every person, upon everybody that attends these meetings and speaks in them, that you'd bring conviction upon every heart. Amen.
Amen.
Scriptures tell us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It also says in 1 Timothy 2:4, if you turn there, says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I'd like to speak to you a little bit tonight on that God is not willing that people should perish, that God wants people to be saved. God is very seriously concerned with evangelism. He really is. It's not just an effort or a work that he has commended to us, but he himself takes personal concern in the matter of people being saved. It is his personal desire that men and women be saved. The Bible tells us in Ezekiel that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The idea that God is going to be very happy with condemning people, I don't believe is a scriptural truth. I believe that God wants to see people saved, that he doesn't just send Christians forth because he doesn't want us to lead a meaningless existence on this earth. I believe God wants to see people saved, and it is a concern of his, and that being so makes it a concern of ours. The Bible tells us in Psalm 68 that God is a God of salvation. As we read here, it says he's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to be saved. And I was thinking, I want to bring to your attention a few indications the scripture give us as to God's intense concern with evangelism. One of those indications is the fact that he's tarried so long. I mean, we look around the world and we see all the evilness and all the bad and all the cruelness going on, and we see all this and we say, God has got to be fed up. You go through the genealogies of Genesis and you read people like Morris and others who kind of tell you, well, you know, there's about 2 billion people on the earth or 6 billion people on the earth at the time of the flood, and there's such evilness, and God saw these 2 billion people and says, that's enough, I'm going to save 8, the rest are all destroyed. And we look around and there's a whole lot more people now, there seems to be a lot more wickedness now, and yet God continues to tarry. He continues to have mercy and patience and long-suffering. And that's what this verse in 2 Peter is talking about. It says, yes, you know, people do use this prolonging of judgment to say that God will never judge, but judgment is coming.
Amen.
It is more sure than anything you can plan in your life. Judgment is coming. And yet, God tarries. And Ruckman says 1988 or 1989, Brother Lindell says before 1991, and it's 1998,
Amen.
And the Lord's still tarrying. This is a clear indication that God has interest in people's souls. I've heard people say that they think that maybe the coming of the Lord is not as an exact date, but that is subject unto God's desire and unto the work that his people carry out. I'm not sure. But I do know that when I see that God is not coming back on that white horse, dripping with blood and with a sword in his hand, destroying, that it is an indication that God has a personal concern, a personal stake in evangelism, in world evangelism. That he has interest in Mexico being evangelized. That he has an interest in Poland being evangelized. It's not just a couple of yahoos saying, well, we're kind of interested in Poland. It's a God laying on Joe and Brent's heart. We want some missionaries. I want somebody over there in Poland that's going to preach my word. And God's tarried now a couple years that they've been able to go and do that. Another indication in the scripture that God is concerned with evangelism, that he is not willing that any should perish, that he wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth, that he would that men be saved, is that he commanded us. He gave his last command was to go and preach the gospel. Amen. Of all the things he taught, of all the things that the last days, he has these few last moments that are going to be, obviously, because they're his last moments with his apostles, are obviously going to be of great significance. And of all the teachings, he wishes to reemphasize and give it that last, ba-boom, he chooses to reemphasize the necessity, the need to go and preach the gospel. And it's recounted time and time again throughout the gospels, and he reemphasizes it. Go ye therefore into all nations and preach the gospel. His last command. Another thing is, another indication of the scriptures is that it is by far the most vast calling of the New Testament. I mean, when you read about God calling somebody, it's almost always calling them to evangelize. I looked today and I was looking and I was trying to remember what I've read and I don't remember anybody being called directly by God to go pastor a church. I don't remember being called directly by God to be a deacon. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. What I'm saying is when we look to the New Testament, one of the vast callings of the New Testament, when God directly calls men, it was calling Paul to go to the Gentiles and preach his word. Calling Paul to go to Macedonia. Calling the apostles to go and preach. Sending out the 70 to go by all these villages and preach before he came to them. Tells that man after he healed him, go back and tell your people. And time after time again, he calls people, and what he's calling them to do is to go out and evangelize. And I am conscious of the need of all these other ministries and all these other gifts. But this mission conference is about evangelism. And I see that the vast amount of the New Testament callings are about evangelism. Fourth reason I see that indication in the scriptures that God is really concerned about evangelism is that rewards are promised for those that labor in this work. There are rewards promised to this. God has given incentives for it. He says, this matters to me, this is important to me, and so I am going to make it profitable to you. Amen. To endeavor in this work. I'm going to make it profitable to you. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. All these verses that I'm reading are well known, and yet they hold such timeless truths. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Tells us here that every man is going to be tried by fire, and if you built right, you will receive a reward. If your work in Christ was done correctly, you will receive a reward. God has not only prepared a place for us, he has prepared a time when every man will be tried. Everything that has ever been criticized, everything that has ever been done, everything that has ever been seen or made manifest, God will manifest it, and he'll declare what was done correctly, what was done incorrectly, and he has rewards prepared for those who have worked not in vain, because it matters to him. And so he's giving us incentive to do so. More so than just because we are indebted, and we are. The very fact that being so vile and so wretched, God would come down and see us, as it says in the scriptures, in our blood and defiled, and clean us, and put garments on us, and hug the prodigal son, and save us from our sins, ought to make us see ourselves as indebted to people. And if that wasn't enough, we have the very example of the Lord Jesus Christ, loving people and preaching to them and teaching them, and in the end, when they finally reject them, forgiving them. And that ought to give us an example. And yet beyond that, and beyond those two things, he gives us an incentive of saying, I'll give you personally your own reward if you do what I ask you to do. If you will take interest in this work in which I take interest. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58 that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. It tells us in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 that the ones we win are a crown of joy unto us. It's given us incentives. It's saying, you, if you work for the Lord, you're not gonna lose. We were talking about offerings the other day and about the idea of giving to God and then He gives back to you and give to get. I didn't come to preach that. And Brian says, I've just found that it doesn't work. And one of the brothers said, oh, you got burned. And Brian says, no, God's never burnt me. And that's true. God will not burn you. You will not be defrauded by God. If you do your part for God, He will recompense you, if not in this life, in the life to come. He promises it. It's an incentive He gives us that we would take the same interest He is. But this also shows us that He is interested in evangelism. And the last point that I would like to touch on, and the last indicative of God's desire or God's willingness in evangelism is He's willing to expend lives for this effort.
Amen.
I was reading before I came, I went through some pages of the Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you know what I come to find out? That once you get saved, and not to be mean or not to presume upon God, but you become expendable. You become expendable. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews that the angels are ministers of those that would inherit salvation and that they obviously care for them. And yet we see that once ones get saved and they go out, a lot of this protection over their life seems to be lifted and they become slightly expendable. And if it serves God's purpose, if it serves God's use, then they're sacrificed. And we see it throughout the scriptures time and time again where God's men, not false prophets and not a bunch of people wandering out there doing nothing. We're talking about God's men being killed and murdered and God obviously not saving them many times and not even offering it to them. And I believe that every one of us is going to have to come to the point where we will accept this, even this. Brothers in Mexico have had guns pulled out on them and shotguns and pistols and put right to their head and knives and stones and sometimes not so great, you know, watermelons and stuff, eggs. And yet we all must come to terms with it. We all must realize that God is willing to sacrifice 10 men to save one. That He's willing to send 10 men with families into a jungle to preach the gospel to some heathen tribe of 40 and possibly lose their lives. There's several ways we see this. There's several things that indicate this. One is He sacrificed His own Son for the gospel.
Amen.
Do you think that your life is safer than that of His own Son? That God would be willing to sacrifice His own Son for the salvation of the world? And you know?
I don't think so.
The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. His apostles. Let's read 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Says God set these apostles forth last and He appointed them to death. He says, you're going to go out and you're going to preach and you're going to teach and you're going to die. He tells Peter that when you're old, they're going to bind you and they're going to take you where they want and do what they want. He says, in this, He signified the death by which He was to glorify God. He told Peter at the very beginning, right there before he goes up, he says, Peter, before long, you're going to get old and they're going to come and get you and they're going to kill you for my sake. That is your mission in life. That is what your future is. That's what you have to look forward to. And Christians throughout all ages, like I mentioned, have been viewed by the world as expendable. And yet, it appears they were in a certain sense. That God's interests lie primarily in saving souls from hell and not people from death. And that if the death of one man would save many, it was worth it. Or one, it was worth it. And we see then how God allows the world to kill and to have this inquisition and just murder and slaughter His own children, and He would allow it because heathens, pagans, Catholics, Mormons, whoever they may be, could be saved. Well, God cares about evangelism. God cares about evangelism.
Amen.
This isn't our work. It is the work of the Lord. He cares about the people in Mexico. He cares about your neighbors. He wants them to hear the gospel. So what it comes down to is, if God's concerned about evangelism, how concerned are you about evangelism? How concerned are you? You know, we say God's concerned about evangelism when we look through the scriptures and we see indications over and over and over and over of God's concern for evangelism. It's not just word, but word and deed. He not only says that he cares for these people, he not only says he loves them, but he gives his son. He sends Christians to their death so that others might know. He shows that he really cares. So, do you care? Well, what are you willing to spend? Paul says, I'm willing to spend and be spent. What are you willing to spend? You care about evangelism? God cares about evangelism, and he shows it. He does something about it. What are you willing to spend? What are you willing to give? What are you willing to do? We need to think about these things. It is a serious concern with God, and it ought to be a serious concern with you.